Fortune. You have tuned in to Capital Irish on 106.1 FM, and I'm Alice Paul. I'm going to be chatting to you for the next half an hour, and I'm also going to have a guest with me, Desiree Mulligan. She's the president of the Hutt Valley Irish Society. So I hope you'll enjoy hearing all about that very progressive society, which is here in Wellington, and it's making a big difference in a lot of people's lives. So that'll be a very interesting one. And just love to thank our sponsors, as always. Without them, we just wouldn't be able to have this programme to connect with everybody. And our sponsors are Susie and Peter McGuinness from the McGuinness family here in Wellington, Hutt Valley Irish Society, and the Wellington Irish Trust. So thanks again, and we really appreciate that. Usually I take a look at the Irish papers every week and see what's going on, and I suppose I could say the main topic of conversation that seems to override everything for the last few weeks is the plight of the asylum seekers as opposed to the refugees. The asylum seekers, they've nearly got 1,400, I think, asylum seekers whom they say have been sleeping rough for the last 10 weeks, and that includes four children. So that's quite a sad situation for the asylum seekers, but also for people who live in the Dublin area, wherever they live, who have to see people suffering like this after they've left a place where they are, you know, leaving persecution or in some of the African countries, war-torn countries. But Ireland, because they haven't got the accommodation available, just like New Zealand, housing is in really short supply. And last week, the state agreed to pay 1.5 million to a European relocation system because the Republic doesn't have the space to accommodate the applicants. So what's, I suppose, the biggest issue is that there's been a global increase in people seeking international protection, and this has impacted on all the EU states, not just Ireland. And in Ireland, there's a lot of discussion about the dual standard on how Ireland is treating refugees from Ukraine who have the benefit of the EU Temporary Protection Directive, and people from other parts of the world who are seeking asylum. And as I said, they're all escaping identical situations of war and persecution. And the dual standard, they say, and write about that, it's been normalised. So that's, it's quite a sad situation, and we feel very, very, it's a tragic situation to be in for the people who have to leave their countries, and it's unimaginable. But I hope that there will be some solutions in the future for housing, just the same as we need the same solutions here. Now, a bit of good news. Harry Styles, who, of course, is one of the world's biggest pop stars at the moment, he played in Slane last week, and he played for an audience of 80,000 people. Can you imagine? I went to a concert in Slane Castle in 1982, and it was Bob Dylan. And I don't know how many thousand people were there, but it was very packed, and it was such an electric atmosphere. It was fantastic. But this one seemingly was incredible. Mostly young girls, it said on the paper, because of course he's a 29-year-old and he's really fabulous dancer and great singer, and he even learned a few words of Irish before he came. He shouted to the audience, "Can I say thought to? How are you?" And they all shouted back, "Caith Míle Fáilte," to him. So it was a great celebration. Imagine how much money they make out of all that. I can't even begin to imagine how much the tickets cost, but I'm sure they weren't cheap. Anyhow, I'll stop talking and start having a chat with our very, very important guest, Desiree Mulligan. So a very warm welcome, as I said, Desiree. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Ellis. It's lovely to be able to talk about the Hutt Valley Irish Society like this.
Great. And you will detect from Desiree's accent that she is a New Zealander. third generation, is it?
It is indeed. It was my lovely Nana who lived with me and was part of my family for my life, really. And it was because of her I explored my family tree.
Wow.
And she and her sister Kathleen supported each other since the First World War. Both lost their husbands in one way or another due to the First World War.
Yeah.
And they were lovely, lovely families that we grew you up
admired.
With cousins,
yeah.
and so on. And
yeah.
interestingly enough, they had married, they'd come from Lanan in Connemara.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came here, they both married brothers who were from the Knox family from Cavan.
Really?
And they actually came from a family that he had come over and then married a Catholic girl,
yeah.
and had actually become Catholic,
yeah.
because of his love for his wife.
Okay.
So there were a mixture of a Catholic descendant from Cavan and Lanan in Galway and Connemara.
Yeah.
Yes. So
that was your grandmother, Desiree? No, your
that was my Nana, my grandma.
Your grandma. Yeah.
Yes. So
fascinating. She gave you this real, and you felt you knew Ireland probably from them or listening to her. And
well, I didn't realise how much Irish in sayings and so on we were hearing until I started reading books by Edna O'Brien and things like that. And I thought, oh. That was what my grandmother said. Of course, I never realised how Irish it was.
Yeah.
But when I started doing my family tree, I also realised there was a branch in Australia, and I got lots of help from someone in Australia with the family tree. And then, of course, I gave it to my niece, my brother's daughter, Kirsten, who's involved in the Irish Society, the family tree.
Yeah.
And she travelled to Ireland with it. And she was hitchhiking through Connemara, and lo and behold, someone stopped and picked her up.
Yeah.
And so, he said, what are you doing here? And she said, well, I've got my family tree here and I'm really looking for the King family.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he said, what? And he was a king.
No.
And he said he had a speaker, a telephone in his car because he was doing this. And he rang his mom and he said, I've just picked up a relation on the road. I'm bringing her home. She was just tum and a lift. And my niece told me all about this, and I was so excited. And she, in the time she was in Ireland, she set up this lovely relationship with these wonderful people.
Yeah.
And since then, they've come out and visited us.
Shame.
And we will visit them again when we're over there later this year.
My goodness.
And it was a lovely thing to do that. And then
wow. That's such a beautiful story, but it's, of course, then that's just a little bit about your heritage. And then Brian, your husband, of course, his ancestors are Cavan.
Yes, indeed. In fact, probably our ancestors lived a couple of kilometres away from each other. And we come here and we meet each other, so it's very strange. You know.
Exactly. And then is this what gave you the impetus to be part of the Hutt Valley Irish Society?
Well, when Kirsten, my niece with the family tree, came home, she also brought an Irish husband with her, as happens, and he was a lovely, polite young man. And but he did say to us, well, where is your culture? Where do you sing? Where do you play music?
Yeah.
Where is your New Zealand culture? And
yeah.
New Zealand culture is pretty laid back with that.
Exactly.
It's rugby and it's places that you go to have opera and so on. But we found the Hutt Valley Irish Society.
Yeah.
And he and my husband really enjoyed going there, and I joined in and really enjoyed this. And, of course, for lots of activities and events and music, he found his little piece of home in New Zealand.
Right.
And so did we, really.
And that's probably about 25 years ago or so.
That would be 25 years ago. I'm just trying to think.
Yes, indeed.
25 years ago. And even then, of course, it had been here for some time.
Yeah.
The Hutt Valley, and then I got very interested in the history of it because I am a historian and I've taught history in schools.
That's right.
And I thought to myself, well, what is the history of this place? And conducted some oral histories, including you, and interviewing people for and getting their life stories, and it was fascinating.
It is.
About why in the 1960s did you need an Irish society?
And
one of the things that I remember someone was saying is, it was Anna Carroll, I believe, and she said, well, we would go to the hotel and we would want to sing, and people would look at us. And we really wanted our own place to be able to go and socialise.
That's right.
And although she wasn't Irish, her husband was, but she also was, I think, second generation Irish.
Yeah, true.
So often you had these women who were second generation Irish in New Zealand who would go to events in Wellington, like dances, and they would meet the young men who were immigrating over here.
So Desiree, that's, the music, of course, is so important for all of the Irish people, and particularly so at the Hutt Valley Irish Society. We love to sing. Everybody loves to sing. But Desiree, this is a good chance for you and me to stop chatting for a minute and maybe choose or play the first piece of music that you've decided you'd like to hear, which is The Fields of Athenry. And so tell us a wee bit about why you chose that.
I chose it because I love the song, but it also, it comes from that part of the country, from Galway. It also talks about Michael, and that was my brother's name.
Oh.
And actually, we did sing it to him as he was dying.
Oh,
so it was
lovely.
Very special to me.
Very special.
And beautiful. So.
Right, so we'll play this beautiful song, Paddy Riley singing the one I've chosen his as the best one, The Fields of Athenry.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling, Michael. Ship lies waiting in the bay. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Sing. It's so lonely round. watched the last star fallen. As the prison ship sailed out against the sky, for she lived in hope and prayed for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once you watched the small free birds fly. To sing, it's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Beautiful rendition of Fields of Athenry, and it bring a tear to any eye. And of course, if you've been to the Rugby or Aviva Stadium and you're singing that, it's the best way to support your team, Irish team. I just love it. And it was very, it must be very emotional for you, Desiree, to hear that as well. And you have so many associations to it.
Yeah. It is lovely.
Thank you for choosing that. Now, Desiree, just getting back to the Hutt Valley Irish Society, how long is it since you've been president? Just this year, isn't it?
Okay. Yes, this is the first year I'm president, and it's been a delight and privilege. Someone pointed out to me I'm the first president actually elected at the AGM, so I feel very happy that people had confidence in me like that. And the big thing this year, of course, has been to come back from the COVID sort of lockdowns that we've had. And one of the things is we've had lots of events like President's Night coming back, and we met the new ambassador for Ireland there, St. Patrick's, of course. Gilly, one of our lovely committee members, ran bingo, and we've been so pleased that to be able to run a Cayley, and we're hoping to do that again soon with Ashlyn Ryan and Emma Coffey.
I know, you've got all these famous
so
people.
So lovely to get the young people involved, and also working with the committee talents, because, for example, and involving other people, Alice, you did a charity event, which was a great thing, where we raised money for Médecins Sans Frontières. And it was great to keep the cultural things going. Alice, you did the singing. I was hoping to get the poetry and going again, and we did.
Well, you have been
and
doing
that. The band Shindig continuously is there holding events, and on our third Friday of the month, we have potlucks that were started by Anna Carroll, and I've tried to make Irish language a bit a part of that.
Yes.
So that there's a word of the month.
That's great.
For people like me who don't know a lot of Irish, I feel it's good to learn it.
But Desiree, just getting back to the potluck, I mean, I talk about this every time I do the show. I love the fact that all the young families who come to New Zealand come, and it's a children's paradise.
It is. And my daughter's going to be visiting overseas at the end of this year. She met her friend at the Irish club, and they're 30 now, but they were running around as four-year-olds playing, and they never went to school, but they have remained very firm friends.
I know.
I think it's lovely.
I think it's great. I mean, with the little children who do the singing, they love staying on for the potluck. Okay, some of them just like it because of the jelly and the ice cream, but it doesn't matter. My little grandson, who's three, said, "I love the Irish club." And I think, well, isn't that wonderful?
That's good, isn't it? I mean, they love running around and having fun. And I think it gives a break for the parents to be able to relax and meet other people as well.
It does.
Yeah, and it has a richness to our society.
Yeah. So what, you know, talking about the future, we're never content with having everything the same as before. What are your aspirations?
Wilded Club.
We've been very lucky to have support from the Irish Overseas program that we've been able to redo our local roof.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Keep the club going with those sort of basic things. But also we want to actually attract a lot more people who want to connect with their Irishness,
yes,
because of them as New Zealanders,
exactly,
and young Irish in the community.
Yeah. So we're not going to say you don't exclusively have to have been born or even have a mother and father who came from there. It can be five generations back and they might just
That's
be getting
right.
interested in their Irish heritage.
And there might be someone like we have a young English woman who's just arrived and she's lonely. And she can come along and it's fine. My nephew says it's never too late to be Irish. And I tend to agree with that, that we welcome people, whoever you are.
Yes.
But what I'd love to do, and I've been really inspired by Jane Quinn from the Auckland Irish Society and Trish Givens from Wellington.
Wellington.
I'd like to do more with other Irish societies,
yes,
and I have found that they have something to offer. We had a wonderful meeting there in Auckland recently, and I think we have got the future ahead of us. Trish Givens was what somebody also, like the St. Pat's Parade this year, it was greeted by a Māori welcome.
That's right.
And in the past, they've used a waka, which is the Māori canoe, to have St. Pat arrived in Wellington.
Right.
And I think that our future is like this. We
will
find te reo comes forward and we become a lot more aware of the Māori customs in our societies.
Yes.
And I believe this is our future. Also, I want to have more relationship with the GAA.
Oh,
and actually
yes, of course.
Probably try and promote that. GAA, of course, because
that's where we get the young people who are, you know, coming with their young families. And
yes, indeed.
It's really important.
And I think, obviously, we want to actually attract people of any race and make them welcome. And also the LGBT community, we want to be inclusive.
No,
so
that's
this is
really
exactly
lovely.
Who we
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 So there's nobody standing at the door saying, if only come in if you're Irish. You've got a very warm welcome. And that's what I've always found, that when visitors come in, well, either yourself or Brian will say, they're so-and-so and they're from America or they're from South America, whatever, can you welcome them? And it's just lovely. It's
this
a nice
right.
way.
Mm. And I've often wondered, because being third generation myself, you wonder, am I Irish enough for all of this?
Oh, my goodness.
But Jane Quinn in Auckland was saying, yes, you are, and you've got to have your community. You attract your community and the Irish will come.
Exactly.
And I was quite inspired by her statements like that.
Absolutely.
And I think it says that our future is enormous.
Yeah. Well, that's really lovely. Yeah, and that's how we want to be known and want to be perceived, you know, in the community, because I'm sure people who left Ireland many, many years ago during the famine and that, they're dependent on societies like us. We don't, our young people don't depend on us, but it's nice to have it there to keep our culture alive and to promote our culture, which is really important.
And we do this with the song and the poetry.
That's
song
right.
that you offer, poetry, and getting together. And,
and the film evenings.
And the family values,
And
my husband Brian has been running some family history events recently. So there's lots of new things happening, which is great.
That's really fantastic. So Desiree, I know you're a true New Zealander and you, of course, have been to Ireland a number of times, but one of the times that really interested me was you and Brian and another group of people went for the 1916 commemoration.
Yes, this was a wonderful event. We had a group of 13 or 14 people who went on a tour around Ireland, and especially it was the historic commemoration of the 1916 uprising, the Easter uprising. And that for me was a wonderful thing, because I'd been teaching Irish history in my history class as well for years.
In secondary school.
Yes, in secondary school. And enjoyed
knowing about it, but this was the opportunity to actually see the commemoration and understand it more fully from the Irish point of view. And indeed we did that everywhere we went. It was just amazing, the displays, the extra knowledge that I could gain from posters and meeting the people and talking about it.
So you're living the history when you did that tour, because I know you went right around Ireland.
We did, and we did call into a lot of historic places, and it was the kiss, the obvious tourist kissing of the Blarney Stone, but Kilmac, actually visiting Kilmainham jail was profoundly moving.
That is very
And it was
moving.
Just so sad. And also even then in the north we visited a jail as well, and sad because of course,
not the Crumlin Road jail in Belfast.
Yes.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that was actually so grim.
It's turned into a museum, I think, now, hasn't it?
It is freezing and cold. Yeah. It was a freezing cold day and it felt bad and cold. And we felt for all those people who
had been there,
incarcerated.
You know, I trained as a nurse next door to that in the Mater Hospital. It was right next door to the Crumlin Road prison.
Yeah.
So, but I never ever saw inside it.
No, well, we did, and it will always stay in my memory.
Is
I think,
that right?
Yeah, and there's so many things like that. I mean, even going to the Titanic Museum was fascinating.
It is. So much to do.
Going to the Crown Hotel and knowing about that in Belfast, that was fascinating. And then, of course, going around the most beautiful areas of Ireland, the beaches was absolutely stunning, and I don't think I really had understood that the first time I was there.
Yes.
But this tour especially revealed some of the most beautiful beaches for us. Rosnala, especially, we stayed at a very old hotel there, which was absolutely charming.
Yeah.
And the sunset at that beach was something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Oh,
you know,
wasn't that lovely? Yeah.
I think really it was great, and also going around with Irish people from our club, who would tell us about their life.
Oh,
and
yes.
What they had happened to them in this street or in this town.
John O'Toole, is that?
John O'Toole was one. And the Duffys, of course.
Oh, of course.
They were
yeah.
telling us lots about
David
their,
Duffy.
David
and
Duffy and Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, look, Desiree, I know that we are, you know, we could talk forever, but we're getting close to where we would love to introduce another piece of music. And the second one you have chosen is Beeswing.
Yes. Well,
Beeswing.
Yes. I love stories and songs.
Yeah.
And that's just one of my things. But this one I heard first as a group of young Irish at the Irish Club, a young Irish woman having a 18th birthday here. And one young woman sang this, and I thought it was just supremely beautiful, and it was told an amazing story, not necessarily a happy story, but like a lot of Irish music. But it also was an amazing event.
I had a look, and I thought that Christine Moore is just does justice to this song.
Indeed.
I've heard many, many artists doing it, but I do love his. So we might end on that, Desiree, but it's been such a pleasure to have you. And I want to say a huge thanks to you for the work and the effort you're putting in to the Hutt Valley Irish Society on behalf of all of us.
Well, I think also the committee is very talented and works intensely hard, as do all the members, to make this society what it is.
Yeah.
So thank you, Alice, and thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for letting me talk about this amazing place.
Yes,
thank you.
And don't forget, we'll plug it again. You can come to visit us on the last Sunday of every month for your potluck dinner. Just come along, bring a little plate of some kind of food, and you'll be warmly welcomed. Have a very happy time until I come back from Ireland, and I'll have lots of stories to tell you then. And my name is Alice Paul, and I've been talking to Desiree Mulligan today, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Slán agus beannacht.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.